You could begin the message. Okay, got a thumbs up over there. So in previous messages, we spoke about the most awesome qualities of Jesus. In these messages, we stated that the qualities of God the Father and His infinite greatness are in Jesus. The fullness of the Father is in the Son. We discussed the extreme humility in Jesus and how He humbled Himself and became a servant to man and gave His life for us. We spoke about this phenomenal effect on people. We also said that whatever He touched was never the same again. This morning I would like to talk about friendship with this most awesome person. What does the Bible have to say about it, and what is God's idea of friendship? In all His infinite greatness, unimaginable splendor, majesty, God still wanted friendship with man from the time that He created him. Jesus continued this idea of friendship with man in Matthew 11:28, where He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come to me, regardless of who you are, no matter what your social status is, just come to me. Imagine God in the flesh inviting sinful humanity to come to Him. People want to rub elbows with people in high society. Yet the Most High God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, wants to be our best and closest friend. What are we going to do about it? Well, let's discuss the definition and the qualities of a true friend. How is a friend defined? A friend is a person who knows, loves, trusts, a favorite companion, one who supports and sympathizes with you. If you were to choose a friend, what qualities would you look for in the friendship? Well, I would say you would look for fidelity and loyalty. No one could ever match the faithfulness of Jesus. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. "Is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." We are always on His mind. What about Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel? We know that she wanted a child, but she wasn't having one for a while. And she prayed very earnestly, very seriously to the Lord. And what does 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19 tell us? "And the Lord remembered her." The Lord remembered her. And the Lord remembers us. No matter how deep our trial, what we're going through, what our situation, the Lord remembers us. He remembers our prayers. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. "Therefore, He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." Jesus is thinking about us so much that even now He is still interceding for us at the throne of God. Another quality of a true friend would be someone in whom you could confide. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." You can trust in the Lord with all your heart because He is someone in whom you can confide. Another quality you may look for in a true friend is excellent communication. God gave us access to His throne through the blood of Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, "Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." excellent communication. The Holy Spirit communicates with us in revealing God the Father and Jesus. I want to read to you John chapter 16 and verses 12 to 15. Talk about the communication of the Holy Spirit with us. John chapter 16 and verses 12 to 15. Give you a moment to get there. John chapter 16 and verses 12 to 15. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. You will want your friend to be a good listener and someone who could share your deepest sorrows and hurts. We all need someone close to us. There is no one like Jesus. Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Isaiah 65, 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. What a friend we have in Jesus. God knows our hearts. And even before we pray, he knows what's on our mind. He will answer. While we are speaking, he's listening. You will want your friend to completely understand you, including your faults, and still love you and be very willing to forgive you. Well, there's a hymn titled, No One Understands Like Jesus. God made us. He knows us, understands us better than we know ourselves. The Lord knows when something is bothering us, when something is on our mind, and when we are upset. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 read, For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's a saying, if it matters to you, it matters to God. Just imagine, if it matters to you, it matters to God. Let's read Psalm 103, verses 8 to 18. Talk about the Lord understanding us. Psalm 103, verses 8 to 18. Psalm 103 and verses 8 to 18. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For as the wind passes over it, it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them." These words inform us that God understands us and knows everything about us and is still very willing to forgive. Psalm 130, verse 4 tells us, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be reverently feared and worshipped. Your true friend will always be there for you." Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, "Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?'" Jesus is with us in all our trials. How do we know? Isaiah 43, verse 2. "When you pass through the water, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flame will not set you ablaze." God will never permit more than we can take. You can be sure of that. And Jesus is known as the Christ of every crisis. He is also known as the friend of the midnight. Psalm 46, verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." The song King of Kings states, "Darkness can't hide me. He'll find me, I know. For men are his diamonds, and he loves me so." The Lord is a 24/7 best friend. He never sleeps. Proverbs 18:24 states, "There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." This friend is Jesus. You want your friend to genuinely love you. What God would die for you? What God would die for his creation? The only part of his creation that rebelled and sinned against him. Nails didn't hold Jesus to the cross. The love of our best friend held him to the cross. Someone asked Jesus, "How much do you love me?" And Jesus said, "This much." And he stretched out his arms and died. Love, God's love is tenacious. And we sing to him, "O love that will not let me go." It goes after the unsaved and the backsliders. Keep praying for them. His love cannot be measured. It is infinite. The third verse of the hymn, "O Love of God," states, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. A true friend will identify himself with his friend. He may say that a certain person is his best friend. Jesus took off his glory, became a man, so that he could identify with us and then save us from eternal damnation. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 6 to 8. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 6 to 8. who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Sin separated us from God. Jesus came to restore that friendship. John chapter 15 really speaks of the friendship of Jesus. John chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 12 to 17. John 15, and we're going to read verses 12 to 17. My commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. Jesus gave his life so that we could be his friend. We couldn't be friends with Jesus unless he died on the cross for our salvation. And the idea of friendship started with God. It didn't start with us. It started with God. We didn't choose him. It says in these verses, he chose us. And think of what it says in the book of Romans. We were enemies of God in sin. And Jesus came to change the idea of we being enemies to we being friends. Now think of it. Since when did you want an enemy to be your friend? Right? Who wants an enemy to be your friend? Jesus did. We were enemies in sin. He said, I'll come, I'll die for you, and make you friends. I mean, did you ever hear of such a friend like that? I didn't. We have a problem when Jesus says, love your enemies. And yet, Jesus came to make us, his enemies, his best friend. Each one of us, he wants us to be his best friend. That is unheard of. That is the love of Jesus. That's why it says what we read before. Could we would think the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The earth is mainly water, as we know. It's somewhere between like 2/3 and 3/4 water. Talk about draining the ocean dry. The sky is infinite. You couldn't write the love of God above because the sky is too small to write the love of God. This is the one who said, I'll make you my enemies, my friend. Only Jesus. Could we say enough about Jesus this morning? No. We could never say enough about Jesus, who he is, and how much he means to us. We'll run out of words. We just can't do it. That's who Jesus is. true friend wants to spend time with his or her friend. How about Lauren L. Harris's song, I Miss My Time With You? Now, we may brush Jesus off, oh, I don't have time for meditation this morning or tonight. I have something else to do. And then, invisibly, Jesus is there waiting for you. When are you going to spend time with you? I miss you. And let's face it, are we always the nicest people that somebody has to miss us? Sometimes people don't want to be bothered with us, because maybe we're in the mood. We have an attitude. And here comes Jesus saying, I miss my time with you. He wants to spend time with us. How much time does Jesus want to spend with us? Well, I'm going to read you Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither will there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Notice what it says in verse 3. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. What does that tell us? God wants to spend eternity with us. Sometimes we get, let's face it, let's be honest. I always like being on Main Street in my messages. Sometimes we don't want to spend time with each other. We get annoyed. And, you know, we just don't want the company of somebody else. We all go through it. We're all human. They annoyed me today and so forth. God said, I want to spend eternity with you. Wow. Wow. That's all I could say. The Lord is the kind of friend that wants to spend eternity with us. And our best friend Jesus is preparing a home for our eternal stay. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He has gone to prepare a place for us. But we know from previous studies that these verses refer to the rapture of the church. I will come again and receive you up to myself. That's the rapture of the church. God is coming to take us to a home that he has prepared for us. Think of when you're looking for a home, a nice place to live, or a condo, whatever. We're looking to rent an apartment. You look for a real nice place, and you look and look and get in touch with the real estate agent. Jesus. Talk about the real estate agent. Check this one out. Jesus has prepared the place for us. Did you ever hear of a real estate agent like him? He's preparing a place for us. This is Jesus. Do you wonder why? There might be a few here, but I'll say it over and over and over. It's all about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, and more Jesus. Do you wonder why I say that? God, a good friend is close to his or her friend. How close? John chapter 14, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Well, you can't get closer to that. We're with each other, next to each other. Jesus said, I'll come right inside you. And he does that through his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I'll come inside you. You can't get closer than that, right inside you. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And for those who have not yet received it, go for it. I don't care what your age is, go for it. And those of us who have been baptized, a refilling of the Holy Spirit, which is spoken of in Acts chapter 4. A good friend cares very much for his friend. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Do you ever go fishing and you cast your line out? You just like put your fishing rod like right in front of you. You cast it out. That's what Jesus said. Cast your cares on me. Throw them on me. I can handle it, is what he's telling us. Matthew 6, 31 to 33, Jesus was saying, don't worry. Which of you by worrying can add a cubit unto his stature? Then he says, the Gentiles worry. We know God. We're not Gentiles in the sense that we know Jesus. When it says Gentiles, all right, we're Gentiles in the sense of not being Jewish. Okay, I'll give you that. But we know Jesus. So in a sense, we're not Gentiles. We know Jesus. He said, those who don't know me worry. We know Jesus. So whatever you throw at him, he could handle. Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Does God take care of sparrows? Well, check out the storm last night. Branches of trees were falling. I don't know around you, but up around here, we had some trees down. I saw the sparrows fluttering around this morning. God takes care of the sparrows. Do you think for 1 minute, if he's going to take care of those little sparrows, that he's not going to take care of you? Get real. He will. Whatever you need. Whatever it is, throw it on him. He could take it. Throw it on him. It's not being disrespectful. Say, Jesus, I can't take it anymore. You could have it. And though he'll probably say to you, it's about time. It's about time you threw it on me. I've been waiting. Give it to him, no matter what it is. A good friend will comfort his friend in times of sorrow. When Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, he referred to him as the Comforter. John chapter 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Wow. A good friend will not forget his or her friend. I want to read something to you. If you would just turn with me, just a couple more readings. But this really brings the point home. Psalm 137, and we're going to read verses 1 to 6. Psalm 137 and verses 1 to 6. 137. Psalm, I'm sorry, 137 and verses 1 to 6. This is what written when the Jews were in captivity in Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. 1 to 6. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. Upon the willows in the midst of it, we hung our harps. For there our captors demanded us of songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And the people answered, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, this is God answering. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Notice it says over there, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, the people of God, us, may my right hand forget her skill. You think the Creator is going to forget his skill? Not a chance. So that also means not a chance that he's going to forget us. no matter what your situation. There may be a waiting period. It doesn't mean Jesus forgot you. He's doing the work in the working period. You know, the waiting period proves that he hasn't forgotten you. Because if he did forget you, he wouldn't be working in you. And when there's a working period, a waiting period, he's working in you. So the uneasy waiting period proves that Jesus has not forgotten you. Isaiah 49, verses 14 to 16, I'll read to you. Again, God can't forget. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you." And if God says something, he means it. "Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." He said that, can a mother forget her nursing child? Mother doesn't forget a child unless the mother is abnormal, has a problem. Jesus said, the Lord said, "I will not forget you. You are inscribed on the palms of my hand." How many times do you see the palms of your hand in one day? Pick something up, you're washing your hands, whatever. You are inscribed on the palms of Jesus' hand. He's always looking at. And what does he see? When he sees his hands, he sees the nail prints. He will never forget us. But those nail prints, we know, will never disappear. And the Antichrist cannot have the nail prints of Jesus either. Even though Jesus is in heaven, he hasn't forgotten us. Of course not, because he gave us his spirit down here. Jesus is absolutely the best friend that you could ever have, and he can be trusted as a true friend more than anyone else. Each quality of friendship that we discuss is in Jesus to perfection. And all the qualities and attributes of God the Father are in the Son. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 tells us, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," Jesus. We can be friends with the indescribable, undefined, infinite, mind-boggling, Almighty God. Now, I want to repeat that, not to be redundant. Let's get that in our understanding. We can be friends with the indescribable, undefined, infinite, almighty, mind-boggling God. What are you going to do about it this morning? Wouldn't you want this person or more of this person in your life? You say, "Oh, I accepted the Lord." Don't you want more of someone like this in your life? I would think so. So I'll leave you with that. We're going to get down to pray. If someone here or online would like to raise a prayer, then we'll sing the last hymn.